And today we come to a part where we see the mysterious work of God on display. The scripture says, "Now Joseph gave these instructions to a servant, steward of the house. Fill the man's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in the mouth of a sack. Then put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver for his grain." And he did as Joseph said. As morning dawned, the men were on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone far from the city when Joseph said to a steward, "Go after those men at once, and when you catch up with them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't this the cup my master drinks from and also uses for divination? This is a wicked thing that you have done.'" When he caught up with them, he repeated these words to them, but he said to them, "Why does my Lord say such things? Far be it from your servants to do anything like that. We even brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver that we found inside the mouths of our sacks. So why would we steal silver or gold from your master's house? If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of us will become my Lord's slaves." "Very well then," he said, "let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave, and the rest of you will be free from blame." Each of them quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. And then the steward proceeded to search, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. So when he caught up with them, the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. So each of them lowered it. At this, they tore their clothes, and they all loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him. And Joseph said to them, "What is this you have done? Didn't you know that a man like me can find out things by divination?" "Well, what can we say, my lord?" Judah replied. "What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. And now, my lord's slaves, we ourselves are the one who have been, and we ourselves are the one who have been found the cup." Joseph said, "Far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who is found to have the cup will be my slave, and the rest of you may go back to your father in peace." But then Judah went up to him and said, "Please, my lord, let your servant speak a word to my lord. Don't be angry with your servant, though you yourself are equal to Pharaoh himself. My lord asked the servants, 'Do you have a father or a brother?' And we answered, 'We have an aged father, and he has a young son born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of his mother's sons left, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me so I can see him for myself.' And we said to the Lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die. But you told your servants, 'Unless the youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again.' When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him what my Lord had said. And when our father said to him, 'Go back and buy a little more food,' we said, 'But we cannot go down. Only if our youngest brother is with us, we will go. We cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' Your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons. One of them went away from me, and I said, "He has surely been torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. And if you take this one from me too, and harm comes to him, you will bring my gray hair down to the grave in misery. So now, if the boy is not with us when we go back to your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't here, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father, and I said, "If I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my lord's slave in place of the boy. Let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your working in our life. And your word, Lord, that reveals your glorious, mysterious plan. And your word that reveals to us your working in our life. And so, Father, we thank you that you are a God who is involved in our lives personally, that you care about every one of us deeply and personally, and that nothing escapes your attention, and that you are guiding and directing the affairs of our life. So, Father, bless your word to our hearing this morning and open our heart to hear and receive from you this day, that we may be encouraged by your truth and nourished by your word. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like a good mystery? Anybody? Oh, I see some hands. Thelma told me the other day she likes good mysteries. She signed up to go on a mystery trip. And I said, you like mystery? She said, yeah, I do. She said, I read Nancy Drew. Some of us like mysteries. And one of my favorite games that I always like to play is a game of Clue, where you have to try to figure out who solved the crime and with what weapon, where the crime was committed and who solved it, and use your detective skills. And it took a lot of deduction to solve that mystery. This morning, our passage is kind of a mysterious type of passage, where it's kind of mysterious, involves Joseph's silver cup being placed into the sack of his younger brother Benjamin and sending him on our way back to Canaan. We had just seen last week that they had enjoyed that dinner together and God's amazing grace that was being poured out upon them. And they enjoyed that dinner of fellowship together. Joseph had sent them on their way. He had returned the silver back in the sacks. He told them to give them as much silver, as much grain as they could carry back, and returned Simeon to them, and they were on their way. And they thought, boy, we made it. That man down there in Egypt who was cruel to us, Simeon's safe, Benjamin, nothing happened to Benjamin. We got all the food we can carry. We're on our way back home to our father, Jacob. Whew, what a relief. And I thought everything was fine. But then they got on their way, they were stopped. But they were chased down by Joseph's guards, who stopped him and said, well, why did you return evil for good? You stole the silver cup of my master. And they said, no way, we wouldn't do that. And they said, why would Joseph put the silver cup into Benjamin's sack? What was he trying to do? This was his last and final test, as he's been trying to test them to see if their hearts had changed and their attitudes towards him. And it was a mysterious thing he had done, but he was at work through it to bring about a plan of restoration. God as well, our God is mysterious. And the main point of the scripture this morning is that God works in mysterious ways. And Joseph is a demonstration of that. And the mysterious plan that Joseph was doing, he was showing how God works in our lives in a mysterious way that we often can't understand. We can't figure out all that God does in our life, and we can't see the picture all the way. We see the little pieces of the puzzle as we put it in place, but God knows the whole thing. And the scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 11:5, just as you do not know how the breath enters the human frame of the mother's womb, so you do not know the work of God who was working in everything. So we don't see everything that God can do. We can't comprehend that. And that's part of his mystery of who he is. Because God's ways, friends, are not ours. And he works in ways that we don't understand. We think we can figure out the picture and God should do things this way. And we have our plan of how we think God should do it, or when God should answer our prayers. But God's ways, who are higher than ours, doesn't always work in the way we think he should. Amen? Because his ways are better. And we can trust him in that. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Your ways are not like my ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, we see things from an infinite point of view. God sees things from an finite point of view. God sees things from an infinite point of view. We see limited. God sees unlimited. We see short, God sees for eternity. And his ways are far greater. The brothers couldn't figure out what was going on here, why Joseph was doing what he was doing. Why was a silver cup put potentially into Benjamin's sack? What was Joseph trying to do? What was behind this mysterious plan that Joseph was hatching? What was he trying to accomplish? Through him, we see four ways in which God works mysteriously in our lives. William Cowper, who wrote several of the hymns in our hymn book, he wrote the hymn, There's a Fountain Filled with Blood. He wrote these words: God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants the footsteps in the sea and rides on the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never fading skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Because that's what is behind what he is doing. As we look at this story this morning, illustrated through Joseph's life, we see four ways in which God works mysteriously. First, the mysterious work of God is seen to test the depths of our loyalty. God will work in mysterious ways and sometimes put us through trials, sometimes put us through adversity, sometimes put us through hardship to test our loyalty to him and to one another. Sometimes we can't see it, but the hardship and the trials, and this was a trial that Joseph was intentionally inflicting upon his brothers. He was inflictively putting this trial upon them. They didn't understand why, but part of it was to test their loyalty. Because notice what happened as the story unfolded and we read it. Whenever the men stopped and they said, "Why did you take the silver cup? Why did you return evil?" They said, "Far be it from us to do such a thing. We would never think of that. We even brought the silver back to you." And they said, "Well," he said, "if anybody here has it, whoever has the silver cup," they were so convinced that they were all innocent. They said, "Whoever has the silver cup, that person will become our slave, become your slave." Because they were convinced nobody had it. And they said, "Very well, it will be as you said." So they lowered them down. They began to go through, starting with the oldest, Reuben's, down. There was nothing, there was nothing, nothing. They got the Benjamin sack. And there was a silver cup. Imagine how the brothers felt. Their hearts sunk at that point because they had promised their father they would bring Benjamin back. They knew if anything happened to Benjamin, Jacob wouldn't be able to handle it, knowing that he already thought Joseph was gone, and this was the only other natural son of his favorite wife, Rachel. And they found Benjamin, and they thought, "We're sunk. Benjamin's going to become slave. He's going to become a slave in Egypt. Now what's going to happen?" Joseph, testing their loyalty, wanted to see if their hearts had changed, if they were treating Benjamin the way that they had treated him. But we see a key. Something had changed. Look what happened in verse 13. When they saw the silver sack in Benjamin, they tore their clothes. And what does it say they do? They did. They all returned to the city. The steward said, "Only the one who has it will return with me. The rest of you will be free to go. You can go back to your father in peace, but the one who has it will become my slave." But when they found Benjamin's sack, they all returned back to the city. Don't miss the importance of what happened there. Their loyalty was tested. That's what Joseph was seeing. And it showed that their hearts had changed towards Benjamin. They weren't treating him the way that they had treated their brother, the way they had treated Joseph. And their heart had changed. And their loyalty was tested. And they found out, yes, they loved Benjamin. They were committed to him. They were going to support him. And they were going to be with him. Sometimes when those hardships come, they test the loyalty. It's through our trials and adversities that God puts us through to test, are we going to be loyal to him? When those hard times come, or are we going to give up our faith? Are we going to say, "Lord, I trust you in this. It's difficult, but I'm not going to forsake you. I'm loyal to you. I'm trusting you. I'm committed to you." That's why sometimes in this mysterious ways of God allowing those things to happen. Remember when Jesus told the story about the parable of the talents, parable of the soil and the seed, and the seed that fell in the ground that was choked out by the cares, by the weeds. And Jesus said that represented the trials in our life. And when things began to begin hard, it choked out and withered and they fell away. And because the seed was not deep enough. So God allowing those things to happen to test our loyalty to him, our concern and deepness for one and for one another. He also works in mysterious ways to lead us to repentance. As he put Joseph, put his brothers through this trial, it was his way of bringing them to that point that they would finally confess what they had done to him. And the injustice that they had treated against him by selling him into slave 22 years prior to this. And that comes to a head as they come back and they appear before Joseph in verse 14 when he was still in the house, when Judah and his brothers came in and they threw themselves before him on the ground. And they said to him, what is this we have done? Joseph said, what is this you have done? And in verse 16 says, what can we say, my Lord? What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? Because God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my Lord's slaves. We ourselves and the ones who found to have the cup. The power of this is Judah is the one who made this confession, but said God has revealed or uncovered our guilt. And Joseph put them through this trial to adversity to bring them to that point that they would confess. Sometimes God works in ways that we don't understand to bring us to that point. We realize, yes, Lord, I have wronged against you. I have sinned against you and I need to make it right. And you've uncovered that in my life and you revealed that and I need to confess my sin before you. But notice they confessed and they said, God has uncovered my guilt, but he said, we are now your servants' slaves. What was the crime? What was the sin that they had committed? It was selling Joseph, their brother, into slavery in Egypt. Now, the very thing that they had done, they were finding themselves in that same position as being slaves in Egypt where they had sold their brother. At this point, they didn't know it was Joseph yet. But we see how God was working to bring them to that point to own up and acknowledge their sin that they had committed against Joseph and against the Lord. And God will work mysteriously in our life to do that. As we had seen last week, that his kindness to us is to bring us to a point of forgiveness and confession. He also works mysterious. God works in mysterious ways to bring us into submission. To bring us into submission to himself. Notice as Judah gives his speech and this appeal to Joseph as he falls before him. Judah went up to him and said, please, my Lord, let your servant speak a word to my Lord and don't be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself. Notice several times he said, my Lord. He bows before him and says, my Lord. And he falls before him in submission to his lordship. And he said, I don't understand what you're doing here. I know we haven't done anything wrong, but I'm submitting to you and to your lordship. And God, in his mysterious ways he works, allows us sometimes to go through difficulties or trials or hardships because his ways are higher than ours, to bring us to that point of submission and say, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing in my life. I don't understand this plan at all. I don't understand what you're up to. I can't figure out why you haven't answered or why things aren't coming into the places I think they should. I don't understand it, Lord, but you are the Lord and I submit to you. And I align myself with you. And I trust in your sovereign plan and will. Isn't that where God wants us to be? It's not easy getting there, is it? It's not easy getting to that point. But to align ourselves with his sovereign will and purpose and say, I trust you. And Judah fell before the Lord, as all the brothers did, fell before Joseph, their brother, as his lordship, and surrendered to his will. To bring us into submission to trust him. And to know that he has a plan and a purpose, and it's good. And God works in mysterious ways to deepen our affection. To deepen our affection for others and for him. As Judah fell before Joseph and he pleaded for his brother Benjamin. And he went into the long story of what had happened as they came before him, and they said, when we came before you, you inquired about our family and wanted to know if you how the father was and about our family, and we said about our younger brother, and you wanted us to bring him with us. And we told our father if something happened to him. He said, if something happened to him, I couldn't survive, because if I knew I lost my Benjamin. But you required that he come, and he goes into the whole story of what had happened. So Judas said, please, take me instead. Let Benjamin go, and let him go back to my father. But take me. I'll become his slave. I'll take his place. And his affection for his brother was shown. Judah, how significant that he's the one who spoke here. Because 22 years earlier, whenever the plan had come to sell Joseph into slavery, whenever Joseph had come to greet his brothers that day and word from his father, and they had first gathered him, caught him, and put him into the pit, into the well, and they were going to let him die there, if you remember. We already looked at that. Judah came up with the plan and said, hey, there's some merchants coming by. Why don't we at least sell him as a slave and we can get some money for him? Judah was the one that came up with that plan. Now Judah is falling before Joseph, not knowing it's Joseph, and saying, please take me as a slave instead. Also, what's significant about that? From the tribe of Judah, there was going to be one who was going to come, who was the lion of the tribe of Judah, named Jesus. And one day, Jesus was going to say, Father, take me over them. Let me take their place. Let me take their sin. Let me take their place on the cross so that the rest of them can be free. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what Jesus did. And that's what Judah is a picture of here. He said, I'll take Benjamin's place so that he can be free and the rest of the brothers can return home. Take me instead. And God worked in a mysterious ways to test Judah's affection and the affection of his brothers. Did they really care about Benjamin, or were they treating Benjamin the way they had treated him? And they had passed this test. By this time, God had worked in their heart that they truly cared for Benjamin, and they were willing to sacrifice themselves for him so that he could be free, and they would not bring sadness to their father, Jacob. Their affection for him come through. God will test our work in mysterious ways to work in our heart and put us through trials and adversity to test our affection to him. In those times of hardship, in those times when we don't understand what's going on, do we still love him? Do we still trust him? Is our affection for him deeper? And do we love others more than we do ourselves? God works in ways that we don't understand. His mysterious will is on display. And he will allow us to go through hard and difficult times. He will work in ways we don't understand to test our loyalty to him, to bring us to that point of repentance, to bring us to submission and alliance with his will, and to deepen our affection for him and for those in our life. The story, Joseph was moved as Judah made his appeal. And we get to chapter 45, as we're going to get to in a couple weeks. Joseph couldn't control himself any longer, and they got to this point and they had passed the test. And Joseph is about ready to reveal himself to his brothers who he is. That's coming up in the next part of the story and how that reconciliation takes place. But today we've seen how God is working behind the scenes in mysterious ways to prepare us and to bring us to those points when we acknowledge him and we bring ourselves into submission with his will and loyalty to him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are a great God and that you work in ways that we don't understand. The brothers didn't understand what Joseph was doing here. It didn't make sense to them. And Lord, often it doesn't make sense to us when you are working in ways behind the scenes in our life that we don't understand, but that's where eyes of faith come in, that we trust you, to know that you are guiding all of everything that happens. You are sovereign. You are on the throne. You know where you were taking us. You know where you were taking history. We know, as Ralph said earlier, the demons know what is coming. Satan knows what is coming. And ultimately, you already are in plan and have that purpose. And Lord, you are guiding all things to that end point of fruition. And Lord, we trust you. Your word tells us that you work everything out for the good for those who love you. And so, Father, we trust in your good plan and purpose. So when you are working behind the scenes, maybe allowing us to go through trials and adversity, hard times where our faith is tested, Lord, help us with eyes of faith to see that you are testing our loyalty to you, to those we love. You are testing, you are bringing us to submission to your will. You're deepening our faith and our commitment to you, our affection. And Lord, you're also bringing us into repentance if there's something we need to deal with. But in all those things, help us to see your goodness, your plan and work, and we trust in you. So Lord, thank you that your ways are higher than ours, that you know what you're doing, and we trust and rely on you and your goodness. So help us, Lord, to thank you and to take your word and apply it and live it to our heart this week as we walk with you and allow you to do and have your will and way in us as we, your obedient children, walk in submission to you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.